Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. My name is Brent Russett. I'm the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa. It is my pleasure to look at some of life's challenges and then to bring you some good news in the morning. I'm glad you've turned your dial to CFRA, and I want you to know that you can also find Good News in the Morning on the internet at goodnewsinthemorning.ca. There you can keep up to date with what's happening around Good News Christian Ministries. And this program has also been sponsored by a donor who wants to remain anonymous, but I want to thank you personally for your partnership in the gospel this morning. I want to say a special welcome to those of you who are listening internationally via the internet. We're glad that you have found us and that you're finding this ministry and encouragement. This morning, I'm going to look at what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now, before we get to that story in John chapter 8, I'm going to take you back to a story in Exodus chapter 3, the second book in the Bible. And it tells us the story of Moses. Moses was born to Jewish parents, adopted by a princess in Egypt, and went on to become a prince of Egypt. And then he did something stupid and had to run for his life. He ended up on the backside of the wilderness, and he was tending sheep for his father-in-law. So one day he took a sheep really, really far out into the wilderness and ended up on Mount Sinai. He was just out for a walk doing what shepherds do, and then he spotted this bush, and it was burning. And he thought to himself, this is pretty weird because this bush is burning, but it is not burning up. I think I'll go and check it out. And so he did. When God saw Moses getting close to the bush, he called out from the center of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses knew immediately who he was. He said, "Here am I." And in Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Do not come any closer," the Lord warned. "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." What do you do when you hear the voice of God and it tells you to take off your sandals? Well, you take off your sandals. So the Lord goes on, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Abraham had lived 400 years before this, and Moses got it. He was standing before the eternal God. He was standing before the all-powerful God. Before where he was looking at a burning bush, now he covered his face. He was afraid to look at God. Moses had good instincts. As I look through church history, Christians have always had a tendency to do one of two things with God. Sometimes we've made God great and austere and distant. Sometimes we have tended to shrink God down so that he is really small, but he's close. I believe that that's our tendency right now. But the reality is that God is both great and close. Moses was afraid to look at God because, well, you can't see God and live. See, sunlight is good and we need it. But if you stare at the sun for too long, you will go blind. God is good and we need him. But to look at him in all his purity and beauty and holiness and goodness, our spiritual eyes could not handle it and we would die. So it's a little scary to think of this atomic blast of spiritual life being really close. So we either tend to distance ourselves from him or we pretend to that he is not as great as he is. But Moses got it. God is both great and close. And he took off his sandals and he bowed in reverence. Well, back to our story. God says to Moses, "I've heard the cry of my people who are enslaved in Egypt, and I am sending you to do something about it." Moses said, "God, you have the wrong guy." God said, "I'm going to be with you." Now, here's what Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, catch this. But Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' they'll ask me, 'Well, what is his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God replied to Moses, "I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent you.' God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, or I am, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. The main name of God used in the Old Testament is Yahweh, or some translate it Jehovah. The translation is, I am who I am. This name of God was so sacred that some of the people would not pronounce it in the public reading of Scripture. This is how God revealed himself to Moses. Yahweh, I am who I am. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. Now fast forward 1,600 years. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He is verified by the voice of God at his baptism. He was authenticated by miracles, and he was telling the people who he was, and they would not believe him. So in John chapter 8, let me summarize the chapter to you. The whole chapter is about a discussion of who Jesus is. Here's the short version. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. I came from heaven. I speak what my heavenly Father tells me to speak. You are slaves to sin, but I will make you free. The people said, we're descendants of Abraham. That makes us God's people. We're not slaves. Jesus said, Abraham is your physical father, but not your spiritual father. Your real father is the devil because you keep on doing evil. You're not listening to God. If you obey my teaching, you'll never die. People said, Jesus, you're a Samaritan and a devil and demon-possessed. Abraham died. The prophets died. Who do you think you are? And here's where we pick up the story in chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham, Jesus said, rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He said, saw it and was glad. The people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say you have seen Abraham? Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, either Jesus was using really bad grammar, or he was saying something profound. The people who were listening to him knew it. He was claiming to live before he was born. But worse than that, he was using the name of God for himself. I am. And they tried to kill him right there and then. But Jesus hid from their sight and escaped. This chapter is all about who Jesus is. And the answer to that question and how you answer that question is really important. Some say Jesus was a great man, a great moral teacher, and Jesus did teach some wonderful things. The golden rule came from Jesus, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But if Jesus were just a mere man and said the things that he said in this chapter, he would be deluded at best and wicked at worst. You see, you can't tell people that you're the light of the world, that they should put their faith in you. And if you know God the Father, you would know who he is, that he existed before Abraham, that he's calling himself the same name as God revealed to Moses, I am. See, a mere man who says things like that is not a great moral teacher. He is either deluded or intentionally misleading people, or he is something very special. See, when it comes to it, we either believe that Jesus is – we either believe in Jesus or we don't. He is making himself out to be God, the light of the world, the one who knows the Father, who came from the Father, who has the power to set you free, the one who says, I am, and he stakes his claim to the Godhead. See, either we believe him or we don't, but you have to do something with his claims. I'll tell you this, that if Jesus were a mere human – just a great moral teacher, then the gospel's a lie. Christianity's a lie. A mere human could not die for the sin of the world. He could not take upon himself the sin of the world. No forgiveness would be available in Jesus if he were just a mere human. But I believe that he was and is who he said he is. I believe that he was and is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what John chapter 1 says. Before Abraham was, Jesus said, I am. I know that some of you listening believe that as well. You put your faith in Jesus and his work on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. That is what Jesus has asked of each of us. When we do that, we start on a spiritual journey with God, who became a man so that we might know God. We're going to listen to a song called In Christ Alone from the Heart of Worship album.
Thank you. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest trial and stone. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness is gone by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was
Most of us see people through one lens. Most of the people in the church that I pastor, Sunnyside Wesleyan Church, see me as a pastor or as a minister, and because that's a hat that I wear on Sunday morning. Now, I'm also a husband, a father, a student, but most of them see me through the lens of a pastor. See, we have a tendency to see through people through one lens. Of course, my kids don't see me through the lens of a pastor. They see me through the lens of a dad. My extended family doesn't see me through the lens of a pastor. They see me through the lens of Bill and Dorothy's son. They know that I'm a pastor, but that is not who I am to them. You get what I'm saying? We tend to see people through one lens. We have another member of our household. It's Nikki, Nikki the cat, a.k.a. Nikki the terrorist. This cat sees me as the one who feeds it. It lets me know in a loud voice when she thinks she should be fed. Nikki sees me through the lens of a kibble scooper. The reality is, though, that I'm much more than that. I am the one who goes to the store and buys her food. She has no concept of that. I'm the one who provides a warm place for her to live. She takes that for granted. In fact, I think she thinks she owns a place. But the reality is that everything that she has, I have provided for her. But all she sees is that I am her kibble scooper. I think most of us view Jesus through one lens as well. The reality is that he is much more to us than we'll ever know. Just like my cat has no ability to comprehend me, we have really no ability to comprehend Jesus. The Bible says, in him, all things hold together. In him, the universe continues. We don't understand much of that, but we have our lens that we see Jesus through. Now, I'm going to make a vast generalization here. I've been around long enough to know that different people see Jesus through different lenses. But in my branch of Christendom, most people see Jesus through the lens of friend. To some, he's a good friend. To some, he's a distant friend. Some would describe him as a best friend. Some would say that he is a faithful friend. Some would say that they've been disappointed with his friendship. But friendship is a lens that people see him through. And I think it's a good lens to see Jesus through. I love the great hymn of the church, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking to the disciples. In verse 14, he says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friend since I have told you everything the Father has told me." See, seeing Jesus as a friend is a good thing, but it's kind of like my cat seeing me as a kibble scooper. I am that, but I am so much more. Let me take you to the late first century. Rome was firmly in control. The temple in Jerusalem had been destroyed. Most of the apostles had been executed for their faith. The apostle John was the exception. He had been exiled to the island of Patmos under the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian. Now, Domitian didn't like Christians. Under him, whether or not you were a Roman citizen, it really didn't matter. If you were a Christian, you were in danger. Danger of death, danger of persecution, danger of losing it all. So it was Sunday, and the Apostle John was sitting on the island of Patmos praying for the churches across the Roman Empire, and he had this vision. It's described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. It says this, "I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom, and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, 'Write in a book everything you see, and send it to the seven churches in the city of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.' When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man." Remember, that's how Jesus referred to himself. "He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance." Doesn't that description of Jesus just want to make you walk up to him, throw your arms around him, and say, "Jesus, buddy, friend"? I don't think so. As you might guess, each piece of that description symbolized something about his character. John, one of the disciples, in fact, one who was in Jesus' inner circle, one who Jesus had called friend, the disciple who was described as the one who Jesus loved, saw this vision, and he didn't go up to him, to Jesus, and throw his arms around him and say, "Buddy." Verse 17, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I die, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. The same response that Moses had to the voice of God in the burning bush, John, who had seen the risen Lord, fell down as if dead. Question is, why did Jesus show up to John like that? The churches to which he was speaking needed to understand that the one that they were worshiping, the one who they were relying on, was more than just the friendly man upstairs or the buddy from down the street. They needed to understand his power and his majesty. They needed to hear his voice of thunder. He was the one who had defeated death. He came as a warrior, and he was on their side. They needed to know that internally, because as you read further, some of the churches had become lukewarm in their faith. Others were tolerating immorality and idolatry. They needed to see Jesus in his glory and power. They needed to know who he was and that he could meet the external threat. They were under persecution, but the one who they served had overcome death and was walking with them. I wonder if Jesus was to reveal himself afresh today, how he would show himself. Or to ask the question a different way, is there a fresh lens through which you need to see Jesus? Could it be that you need to see him as the King of Kings, who had authority over all and yet chose to lay down his life? He is the King. His rule is to be acknowledged and followed. See, when a friend asks you to do something, you take it as some advice and you can try it or not. But when the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, asks you to do something, well, it's a whole different deal. When he tells you something, you shouldn't ignore it. Before Abraham was, I am. I am the eternal, all-powerful God. Or maybe you need to see Jesus through the lens of the Savior of the world. You know, we have a lot of problems in our world. There is the abuse of power, the scarcity of resources, the lack of stewardship of our environment, the loss of the knowledge of what is good and bad. There is injustice in our world, and people are ruled by fear and anger and despair. You know, the real problem in our world, though, when you get right down to the bottom of things, is sin. We were born in sin, and we're inclined to sin, and the only answer for us and for the world is that we need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. He is not a self-help guru. He died for our sin, according to the Scriptures. He is a Savior. Maybe that is the lens through which you need to focus. I don't know the lens that you need to focus, but I have a sense that God wants to expand all our vision of who he is. Here's how the Word of God describes our Lord. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. The Lord is with you, ever present. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my Savior. The Lord is a shelter for the oppressed and a refuge in time of trouble. The Lord is King. The Lord is good. The Lord is faithful. The Lord is a friend. The Lord is just. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord is a great God, a king above all gods. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. The Lord is like a father to his children. The Lord is kind. The Lord is great. The Lord is close to all who call on him. The Lord is your security. The Lord is watching everywhere. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is the everlasting God. The Lord is coming. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, God is both great and close. God is both awesome and near. Question is, will you allow him to expand your vision of him? Will you allow him to show you who he is? Will you see him through different lenses? Will you allow him to be all that he wants to be for you? That is my prayer for you today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for each person who's listening. Lord, whether they're far from you or near from you, I pray that they would see a fresh vision of you. I pray that they would encounter you for who you are. Lord, you had a way of showing up to people, and sometimes they didn't recognize you, but then they caught it, and they caught a fresh glimpse of who you were. Lord, some need to know that you are forgiving because they've been in places where they know they shouldn't have been. I pray that they will see you there. Other people need to know that you are powerful because the situation they need are in warrants it. So, Lord, I pray that you would show up to people. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if Good News in the Morning has been a factor in your spiritual journey, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us through the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca. I want to thank you for listening this morning. I want to thank you for just being with us and hearing God's Word. This program is on the air by the grace of God and the donations of many faithful people. Special thanks to the person who sponsored this program this morning anonymously. If you would like to help, you can contact us via the website, goodnewsinthemorning.ca, or you can go send a check to Good News Christian Ministries at Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG1WO. You can my prayer for you is that you would know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May His Holy Spirit reside deep within your heart, and may our Heavenly Father surround you by His constant and abiding and accompanying love. We're going to go out by listening to Keith Green today in the song, Because of You.
In the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.